Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Bat Boys. And Sam, we're coming off a 2-2 draw minutes after recording this, just after the Alaves game. And of course, I'm checking in. How are you feeling?
I'm emotionally conflicted, Tim. It was obviously the beginning when we were down 2-0 and looked like we could go down even further. Probably would have taken a 1 point out of this match, but it does feel like it was 2 points lost rather than 1 point gained.
I know.
We had so much opportunity.
Can we curse Gamero now, or should we add context?
Oh my gosh.
Talk about
Gamero just didn't put his shooting boots on. He does this sometimes. He just doesn't. He just can't score. I mean, imagine if we had Maxi in there today. Maxi would have had 7 goals.
Well, it's funny. I was trying to go back and think. There have been numerous situations where we've had game-winning chances and we couldn't put it away. One comes to mind is Rodrigo's sort of left-foot chance against Chelsea. I don't know if you remember that, across the goal. Maxi had a sitter.
Yeah.
It was a chance. Yeah. God, Valencia loves to do this, tear our heartstrings.
I know.
In pieces, but all right. Well, it was a very interesting match. It was a tale of two matches, maybe. The first 30 minutes, maybe 25, 30 minutes, and the rest of the game. The first 30 minutes were not very good at all. We didn't look great, and Alaves really had all the possession and were coming at us with basically everything. We really couldn't get momentum. I don't know. What were you thinking there the first 20 minutes? Was it just a mentality thing? It didn't seem like we made any changes. Alaves just had the right mentality coming in, maybe.
We looked just so sluggish everywhere. I just thought we all looked a little hungover. And, it kind of looked – I want to give Gracia credit when we talk about the changes and how the team adjusted to the match. But, the first 30 minutes, it really looked like we were a poorly coached team. We just didn't look ready. It felt like a Salate start. It felt just like we were going out there yeah. with, and we all just looked a little lethargic,
yeah.
you know, and it wasn't just, there were certain players that had really horrendous first halves, including Guillamon, and including even Soler, Rosic, none of them looked good. Cheryshev, Wass, it just really, really looked.
Are you just going to name the lineup at this point?
Gaia looked bad.
Gaia, Gamero.
Everybody looked bad that first 30 minutes. And then the game, and really, I mean, I felt that way almost until the end of the first half, that we did have some bright moments. But beginning of the second half, the game really started to change. And, we had I was really mad. The thing is I was mad at Gracia when he made his substitution because I was like, you're taking Kangin Lee out right now? The only really good chances we've had now have been on these perfectly weighted Kangin Lee passes, and you're going to take him out. And then Vallejo becomes the man of the match for me. I mean, Vallejo comes on and was just flawless. I mean, he should have had that assist to Gamero, which was his first touch, which was an amazing first touch, where the ball came, his back is to the goal, and he hits it like almost kind of like a 45 degrees to his left, and then it creates this great chance for Gamero, who just hits it right at the goalie's chest rather than hitting it across the goal. Cannot understand why he doesn't hit it across the goal there.
Yeah.
Just like only good things are going to happen if you hit it across the goal.
I feel like Gamero could be world class if he just finished those, because his movement and his ability to get in those spots is what his value is. But he just doesn't finish those towards the end. It's frustrating. What was interesting, though, Sam, before we move on.
It seems like he got into his own head there.
Yeah, I know. I think he wanted to go near post high, but he just hesitated there. But before,
Would you go near post there? Why would you go near post there? I mean, that's just the thing. Is that like if you go far post, the only thing that's going to happen if you don't score is the goalie is going to like touch it, which is just going to create more. Just going to create another opportunity. You go near post, and it's a corner. You know, at best, if the goalie saves it. So I just don't get. Obviously, you have a lot more goal in front of you on the left. Why not just hit it across the goal?
Well, what's interesting, you know, I think Vallejo is the story of the match right now. But you did bring up Kang and Lee, and that was interesting because I think Alaves was kind of who we thought they would be. They'd be very they would play very tight lines. It'd be hard to break them up. And, you know, they're not a very skilled, very good team at all. But they did what I think they tried to do, and I think by 2-0 – it was the best outcome they could have hoped for. The second minute goal was, I think, a pretty good, maybe a little bit of luck on that corner, Sam, but maybe a little bit of lapse of marking there. I think it's just fortunate. But I think the theme for me that first 20 minutes is that tough start and then maybe just the youth coming back to bite us. We've talked about the youth a bit. And Guillamon, he's actually been very strong, but like that blunder of a PK in the 17th minute is really why we talk about you need experienced players on the field. I just thought it was very avoidable there. And even the way he defended and he came in too hard, a little too tight and got in trouble.
Yep.
So.
And I mean, he was also caught in possession later on in that first half, which also created a really dangerous moment for Valencia. Alaves had a good opportunity. So yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I will say about Guillamon, something that's remarkable is if you had watched this start from Diakabi last season, Diakabi, you would think, oh my gosh, Diakabi's going to give away 3 goals today. And you know, there was something about this young player, Guillamon, who had really a horrible first half, but he still wanted the ball in the second half. He still just wants the ball. He made some really excellent passes that created opportunities, and then he scores that beautiful second goal. I mean, just a really perfect header. I think Guillamon, I'm encouraged that this guy has got the memory of a goldfish and he can just, he takes it in stride. Right. And he just gets better. He's remarkably confident for such a young player, even after really bad mistakes like that. Whereas you could see on Diakabi's face last year, when Diakabi's in trouble, he just looks just so, so vulnerable. And for me, Mangala always looks vulnerable because he has to know he's not really, you know, a super talented player.
Right. I mean, Sam, by the 30th minute, Guillamon was having just a shocker of a match. One where if he continued, it's almost like a halftime substitute performance like Diakabi's last year. But he really did turn around. The whole team turning around. One interesting thought, I want to go on the Kang and Lee theme. I think we thought he'd get the start today. I guess talks around his extension as well, just how we need him. Of course, Maxi being out, I think he was going to start over Guedes. But I think it was interesting because you did mention like a lot of the chances came from him. But at the same time, he still did have trouble breaking open that Alaves defense a bit that I thought when Guedes came on, he had a few chances. And when Vallejo came on, of course, he was kind of getting a lot of chances. I don't know. How'd you see his performance? I still think it lacks a little bit of his ability to change the game.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I thought the first half, everybody looked overall. Just looked really, really bad. He just didn't have, I thought maybe Yunus Musa was the only one that wasn't getting a lot of feet wrong. So I wouldn't put a lot of, I wouldn't put too much blame on Kung and Lee for unlocking that defense. We just struggled, and it wasn't really clear why. It just looked like we just weren't sharp. I mean, this was one of Solaire's worst halves for me.
Right.
This season, he really, really looked bad. And you know, if he looks bad, and Rosic also looked bad,
yeah,
then it's going to be hard for the team, I think, all over the place. So you know, and even Gaia was really struggling. So it just wasn't. But you know, in the second half, it looked like we had a man up. I mean, it really looked like,
yeah,
it wasn't. And that's why I don't want to be I like to be a little optimistic on this, on the podcast, but I don't want to be too sanguine about this comeback, because this was not a super strong team. And, right, you know, if I was an Alaves fan, I would be pretty mad at how my team managed that lead, because, you know, they didn't really make it hard for us at all. We really should have won that game pretty easily just based on the last 25 minutes. I mean, they were extremely fortunate that Gamero didn't put some of those away, because we had ample opportunity, and really they should have defended much better than they did. They should have made it hard for us all over the pitch, rather than giving, you know, I don't know why they stopped pressing. I just think there were some bad tactics on their side. Pablo Machin, I have no respect for him as a coach.
How much do you think it was Alaves falling apart or Valencia turning it around?
I mean, Valencia had to turn it around. Obviously we started making plays. We started thinking a little bit more creatively.
Yeah.
But we just won every 50-50 ball.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was just kind of remarkable in that we were just like in the beginning, it was like, why can't we win some of these passes? You know, like where the defenders is coming in front and stealing the ball. Like, and in the second half, it felt like, yeah, we just every single time there is a pass in question, we're the ones intercepting it. So we were, you know, I think, you know, we helped ourselves, but Alaves is not a strong team. I mean, at least they didn't perform well. I mean, they performed, I thought, really poorly that last half of the match.
I am really surprised how far they fell in their performance. I mean, they struggled to even get out of their half. They struggled to really even defend. Like really a different team the last 60 minutes even. Even at 30, you know, fifth minute, we started to get possession a little bit and they fell off. So really interesting how they fell apart at home like that.
I would give Gracia some credit, right? I mean, I think Gracia deserves some blame for how we looked in the beginning, and he deserves some credit for how we looked really the beginning of the second half, and then the Vallejo substitution, which I was mad about, turned into be a really brilliant stroke. I do think Guedes, man, did he struggle. And this was, for me, a really discouraging play from Guedes, because he just didn't look that interested in the game. You know, he defensively, I mean, it's like, dude, you got like 30 minutes to come on or less. He had less than that. You have to put in a full offense defensive display here. You have to give that effort. And he looks lackadaisical when we don't have the ball. And you know, there was one place where, you know, we were on the kind of the corner, and he maybe could have like made it difficult for the defender. He lost the ball, and instead he just protested that there should have been a foul call. And you know, it wasn't a very mature performance. It wasn't a performance that made you think, yeah, this guy is earning his way back.
Interesting. I thought he came out strong. I think he had a few plays where he picked up in the middle field. He had a good turn. He did eventually give the ball away. And then, of course, he had the potential PK in the box, which you know, I don't know how much work he did there, but, you know, he was in the box at the right time. He almost caused that PK.
Yeah.
But you're right. It was a strong start from him. And then I agree with you. He didn't really keep it up. And he's so, as I said, I say this every week, he's so athletic and he's so fast and strong. He should be as at least coming on in the 60th minute as effective as Musa in getting behind a tired Alaves. It's just strange, Sam. I don't know why he doesn't.
Yeah.
At least just get in behind and make runs and make something happen. So I think you're right. He started off strong, but he fell off. What was interesting, Sam, is the near goal. So it was 2-0. Here's nearly 3-0. We come down, score 2-2. So within a few minutes, Sam, we nearly lost 3-0. They had a handball in their box, and we come back and score 2-1. I think that was the fulcrum of the game for Valencia and Alaves. It's interesting how it would have been a very different game had that goal gone in, despite Alaves really performing very badly. So we really,
yeah,
really did luck out there before that second goal. And then from there, it was, you know, killing season, essentially.
Yeah, we just couldn't. Yeah. I just wish Gamero, but you're right. I mean, he deserves credit for the spaces he created. He is an extremely intelligent player.
Yeah.
It's just, man, why not go? Yeah. Why not go far post there?
Imagine if he could put those away. And we've seen this the last 2 years with Gamero. He's excellent off the bench. He gets into those spaces. He'll have one or two of those a game. Imagine if he put even one of those one of two chances, 50% in. And these aren't really difficult chances. These are chances on goal here. So, man, it's a little frustrating there. How did you think about Wass and I'm changing subject. We're going to spitfire this. How did you feel about Wass's free kick from 35 yards out? Yeah, let me ask you a question, actually. Are you frustrated by this game, or are you feeling positive about this game? How's
the sleep? I would say I feel positive in that I think even when we're at our worst, or even when we're not at our best, we are better than the bottom tier teams of Spain. To me, it was just a slightly missed opportunity. I think we really could have gotten those 2 points. So coming from behind 2-0 to get a result, you should always feel good about that. But I just think Valencia could have been a little bit better. We could have secured that game. I think if you and I had talked to Gracia pre-match, we could have given him one or two tips that would have unlocked that Alaves defense.
Well, by frustrated, I guess I put it in the context of, you know, last year's team would have secured this game, I think, quite easily. You know, you would have you'd have Rodrigo up top with a Maxi. Even if Maxi was out, we'd still have Rodrigo. Of course, we'd have the center mids now. So I'm just curious if a game like this leaves you frustrated, or are you past that now, and you're in the new paradigm of Valencia?
So I would disagree with you. I reject that. I actually think last year, and I think there's fairly good evidence of this. I mean, the Mallorca losing by 3 goals. You know, we had tons of talent, but if you don't have the right mentality at the top, which was from Salades, then you are capable of losing to any team in the Liga by a significant number of goals. And to come from behind 2-0 and win and get a result, I actually think speaks to the discipline and kind of the soul of the team, which last season, even though we had a lot more talent, was lacking, right? We were just in need of more leadership outside of just from Parejo. And so I feel good about the team in that regard. I do look at this and think, Rodrigo would have finished one of these chances. Rodrigo, but in order for the game to have changed such, we needed Grassi as the coach. I think what would have been really fun is if we could have imagined the team, the talent we had last season with Grassi as the coach.
Yeah. Well, I will debate you on that. I think we did have a lot of second half great performances last year. I mean, I think the one comes to mind is Levante 4-2.
Yeah, Levante 4-2 is a good example. We had a
comeback against Espanyol last year. We scored two goals second half. So we were becoming the second half team, for better or for worse. We had Salada's first half a lot last year. So, yeah, I guess you're right. I was just curious because I think a lot of fans are probably thinking that, dang, if we didn't have to go through this again, we'd probably, clean these games up. And I guess you're saying is that's not actually the case. We actually have a lot of games like this that wouldn't have been secure wins, even with the talent.
You can have a lot of talent and lose in the Liga if you don't have the right mentality. I mean, I just think, La Liga is extremely, extremely tough. And you saw Valencia's last match. They're playing against the team that's been the best in the world over the last decade, and they won 4-1 after being behind, right? So, the Liga is really tough, but if you're not sharp on a particular day, you can lose badly. I think what's impressive about Croatia is how with less talent, he's still able to muster up a lot of confidence in these guys and get them to play the football he wants.
Yeah.
I'll just say, Tim, that first goal by Alaves, what an unbelievable shot that was. I mean, that was just so nice. Yeah. How do these teams score their best goals against us? I
mean,
I know they're practicing that in training, but like, Seriously, how did they do that?
Yeah, well, he was running towards the near post. The ball came past his body. He had to open up his hips. And even then, Sam, he placed it far post. He had to sort of – if you saw the way it hit off his ankle, it almost hit his toes. So it had to come off at that perfect angle. I mean, it was an unfortunate goal for Valencia. You couldn't be too upset. It wasn't – you don't want to see us let in goals within the first 5 minutes. But, man, what a good finish.
Gosh, that was a ridiculous finish. Really? I mean, that was, yeah.
Yeah. Every La Liga team can score those goals, though. That's a good point.
That's the thing, yeah.
That's a good point. Any of those teams can. And then I think I would have thought before the first 40 minutes that any team is capable of defending that lead, of course, against maybe Valencia this year. Which makes it all more interesting. And then it makes it more interesting, Sam, that Manu Vaea is the guy leading us up top this year. It's a bizarre season. It's a bizarre time.
Yeah, so just 2 points on that, Tim. One, I really like Alaves as a team, but to the Alaves supporters listening to this, but I really have very – I just don't rate Pablo Machine. He's just not a solid coach, and I've never liked him after he mocked Valencia for celebrating and that Getafe remontada in the Copa del Rey. So I'm sad. I'm happy to see him suffer, even if that means a great fandom like Alaves suffers as well. So that's the first point. Not too impressed with Machin as a coach. Second point is just, this team, Vallejo, I couldn't believe how well Vallejo played, Tim. And I was just really, really enthused about his performance. And we've seen this in bits, and I don't know what the answer is, but I have to say, I think a Vallejo playing as a second striker with Maxi or Gamero is a really good option off the bench. And so I hope, I know we keep talking about what do we do with Guedes. And, I think the plan before this match was, well, you play him as a second striker when you need a break for Conget. But I don't think he's that role anymore. I think that's maybe that's Vallejo, which again makes you wonder, what do you do with Argueta is this really talented player that doesn't seem capable of playing defense. I just, you know, again, I think there were some, you mentioned there were some hot spots, some bright moments from him today, but he really just looked lethargic defensively. And yeah. I just, it wasn't just a hugely encouraging performance from him for me today, which again, just makes this all more complicated for Gracia to figure out how he's going to situate this team moving forward.
Yeah, this is a six-sided Rubik's Cube Gracia's got to figure out. I don't really have the answer for him. Guedes, in addition to his defending abilities or his, I guess, desire to defend, he doesn't look as strong going forward.
No.
You know, even Lotto is capable of doing, I think, what he's doing. And, of course, Vallejo, every time he comes off the bench, we have to give him more minutes because he makes an impact. I mean, he's just kind of buzzing all over the field. And if anything, I'm just really shocked that Guedes can't even do – he's not doing that, right? It just finds some space and get in behind and just put the effort in. I think he'll have a much better result, more impact. He's certainly more talented than Vallejo at this point. So, yeah, very interesting. I don't know what to do with him. It's kind of disappointing because – yeah, I think he still has so much potential. I'm not ready to write him off and say, okay, it's time to find a solution for him. I don't know. Maybe he is better off in another system and under another coach. I don't want to say that too soon, but you know that maybe that's where the conversation starts going. But you're right. Vallejo needs – he deserves more playing time. He deserves to –
yeah, he deserves more minutes, yeah.
I mean, he looks –
he deserves to be the – coming on for Kangin Lee. I mean, I think that's, to me, that's, I think the starting 11 today, with the exception of Gamero, with the exception of Max, he should be starting for Gamero. I think that's the right starting 11. I just think, I just don't know where to put, I just don't know where to put Guedes. I mean, if we're, you only are going to put Guedes on the left, I think, the way he plays defensively when you're behind. So, you know, hopefully we're not going to be behind all the time. I don't know what that means.
Even his haircut today, it was kind of not done. He needs to throw some gel in there and wake up a little bit. He looked like he got right out of bed and hopped on the field and thought it'd be easy and he'd bang in a goal. I don't know if it's his expectation or his mentality, but something needs to change with him. I don't know if it's with him or with the team or what, but it's a tough situation. On another note, I think
what do you think he should have done on that pass to Gamero? That Gamero hit over the bar. I watched that and then I watched it again. He obviously had an opportunity for a shot. Passing it was the right move, but it wasn't a very good pass. You know, I think of Gamero's near goals, this one for me actually was not at the easiest. You know, I do think he had it was kind of a difficult pass for Gamero. He's then left-footed, kind of balls bouncing. I mean, he should have hit it on frame. I mean, it was inexcusable not to hit it on frame, but it wasn't the easiest opportunity he had. I was wondering whether he should have taken that shot. It seemed like he had a pretty good opportunity at that shot.
Yeah, I think that's the pass for me. I mean, what, he's on his weak foot, but he's in the box, Sam. And we pay him, I think, 100,000 euros a week or something. He should be able to put the ball on the ground or on frame. And that's the most frustrating part. And even that first, you know, the other chance where he went near post and he hesitated again, he just put your foot through it and maybe go underneath the legs or go far post. The hesitation, I think that's what's most frustrating. So I think if you're any striker and you're at that level and that quality, I mean, you want to put that person in that position. And I think that was the pass. I just very shocked he just put that over. It happens sometimes, but it happens too often for him. And so I hear what you mean, but I'm in the camp of that's exactly what you want to do there. Set your striker up. I wish it was Maxi, but what can you do?
Yeah. I think that's right. I think you're right. It was maybe only after the fact that I thought, man, maybe he should have hit that.
Yeah. And Sam, he's 32. He's the veteran. You kind of want your experienced players coming off the bench in that position, right? Who else would you maybe want there at that point other than the more veteran, maybe the clinching guy who can finish out games? And unfortunately, he's not really doing what he's come on to do, and that's really that finish out that game. So, yeah, a little disappointing from him there, and I think there's probably a lot of frustration on the Twitterverse around him. I want to talk to you about Musa. We didn't really talk so much about him.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think he had very great Musa moments, but a little quiet, I think, this game.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that that's normal for a winger. You know, you can't, you know, it just seemed as if there was a lot more space on the left today. I think that it wasn't, and whenever Wass had the ball, Wass was going more central, going more direct. But I thought that every time Musa had the ball, I thought he played, you know, I just thought he played superbly. I thought he was the one player in the first half that I thought, okay, this is the one player I'm going to rate, because the others, I thought really struggled. And then, I mean, he's smart. He's clever. That little hesitation where he then takes it back to the line and then hits it across at the end. I was disappointed that we couldn't get at the end of that, but you know, it just shows he's just really a good player. And you saw the Alaves players were just hacking him. I mean, they were just tackling him. I would have liked to have seen the ref give a yellow there, because I think there had been a number of tackles from one of their players in particular on Musa. So I wish the ref had protected Musa a little bit. But yeah, I mean, Musa's maybe the biggest talent we have on the team right now. I mean, given his youth, given his meteoric rise, I mean, I'm just really, really can't say more about this young fellow that we have that is just hugely impressive. His intelligence, his composure, his physical ability. He really, really continues to impress. So I just think he's got to be playing every game. I think, and that's what Grassi is doing. I think he's got to be playing every game. I think what's encouraging for Valencia this season is that because we have such a short team, we don't have a lot of players. I think we're really hoping that we don't get injuries and, you know, we don't have to play in Europe. So hopefully the fact that we have such a short team is not going to inevitably hurt us the way it did last season, because we had such an intense fixture list. We're not going to have that this season. So hopefully we can stay healthy, and hopefully this kid Musa at the end of the season is going to be bigger than Ferran.
Yeah, hopefully so. And one thing I noticed about Musa as well is just also his work rate, Sam. That guy runs all over the place. Up in, I think, the 78th, 9th minute, he's chasing the goalkeeper on the left side of the box because he happened to be there. So another 40 yards, he's sprinting, and then he gets up and down and helps defend. And, I mean, it's just an incredible work rate and fitness level. And going back to Guedes, not to hate on him too much, but, I mean, it's really all you really want to ask out of someone who's not performing very well is just put the work rate in. But it does say something about the benefit of the youth, because Alaves struggled to keep up with him towards the end. Just that fitness he has is pretty incredible. And got a few good chances when he was going one-on-one. So it's just great to have that youth, at least on our side, as opposed to last year. We did have a more of an aging team, and those, I guess, last 10 minutes or so, I dare say it, but you'd have a Parejo who needed a little bit of help getting behind. Now we have Soler, Rosic, and Musa there. I mean, those last 10 minutes, you see them really defend well. So it's good to see that.
Yeah.
I want to point that out. So
yeah, and we were harsh on Soler and Rosic in the first half, but I thought Rosic in particular played really well the second half. I thought Soler had good moments, and he had some less good moments. But, you know, I think his obviously he got that assist, which was a great assist. Tim, was this a play that Gracia drew up? Was everybody on the same page here? I loved our double fake out.
Yeah, I don't know. It could have been. I doubt it. I think it was probably orchestrated.
Intentional. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was intentional. If not, we're very fortunate that it got onto the end of Guillamon. But yeah, what a great play there. He stepped up and then he stepped up again and then he took it, and they were nearly offsides. If it were not, I think their left back, I don't know who it was, gave us a few yards there, because I think the majority of our players on that second fake were offsides, with the exception of Guillamon. So if it was intentional, it's a fantastic play because it resulted in one person onside.
Yeah, and he delivered the ball to that person who had a perfect header.
Well, and one note on Soler before we move on is, man, his value really is his calming effect. Not only does he defend well, and we talk about his positioning, he's always in the right place. You know, when he did start getting the ball 40th minute or so, I think he started to get into the game with Kang and Lee. I think that's when you start to see the calming effects and our ability to kind of manage games. And he's really stepping into that role. I think as good as he could be doing, right? And in the second half, you see that from him too. So if he can stay in the game and keep the ball, I think that's when we get a lot of potential to set up attacks there. But that first 20, 30 minutes, he just wasn't in the game at all.
He was not.
So that leaves, who else have we missed? That leaves one sour note on this game, and that is Gaia coming off with a troubling injury to his left hamstring, which is a little scary. Of course, he had a really great game. I think he had a center of the field Meg, which was always nice that we fleeked. We have fleeks now on Twitter. So I fleeked it. I don't know if you've – or no, fleeted. It's called fleeted. That hopefully that's not as bad. But, like, when you're running full speed and you're not really touched and it goes out, I don't know. It's a bit scary. So he could be out 4 to 6 weeks after this one. What else? Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say it's a really good thing we have not just Lato, but also Centeus there, given that guy is injured. Oh, wait, no, we gave away Centeus for free. I forgot that. That's too bad. Well, hopefully Lato can hold it together. I mean, that's a big gap. But I have been encouraged by Lato's performances this season, so we'll see.
Well, it's a tough time for our captain to be out. We have a few tough games ahead. Let's bring up our schedule. Next week, I think, is a tough one. We go to Atletico Madrid, or are we home? Let's double check. Saturday, the 28th.
Yeah. Who's the hottest team in the Liga right now?
Yeah, just beats, I guess a poor form Barcelona, but still 5 games in a row now. They're looking good. And this is the start of 3 tough games, I think. We have Atletico, and then we have Eibar, and then Athletic Club, and then Barcelona. So this is and then Sevilla too. So this is a tough run of matches. And I believe, it's at home next week against Atletico. So we'll see how we fare against a really, really good form Atletico team. Do you have any predictions, my friend?
Atletico is always a hard team for us, Tim. I'm always nervous going into an Atletico match, and Atletico looks really good. Maybe the team in La Liga at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be pretty tough. So I'm thinking we're only going to get a 2-1 win. I think that's, you know, that's what I think. I think, you know, they're going to have, Champions League midweek. We're going to be fresh.
Yeah.
Our team is going to be angry about the Kondogbia transfer and the Simeone mind games that led to it. So I think we're going to have a good performance and we're going to get that 2-1 win. That's what I'm predicting, Tim.
What's really interesting, Sam, is that Atletico has only let in 2 goals all season, 8 games, 2 goals. I didn't realize that. So I'm going to say we will win 1-0. It's going to be a tough one goal.
Nice.
It's going to be a really tough, physical, maybe even dirty match, but we're going to get that one goal. Yep. We're going to take the lead there. So,
Tim, another prediction I'm making in this match is that Diego Simeone is going to get a red card. It's going to be one of his many red cards that he's gotten for ridiculous conduct for a coach. And he's going to get another one this game because he's going to show himself to be the buffoon that he is. So another prediction here.
All right, I'll put $10 on that one. $10?
we'll take the betting offline, Tim.
Take it offline. Sure. This is a clean podcast.
Clean podcast.
All right, Sam. Well, we're going into turkey season here in the States, and I just want to announce, aside from the bonus episodes, we've had a few of those, this is episode number 50.
So, wow, Tim.
Wow, a milestone for this podcast.
Milestone.
Wow. 50 episodes of listening to you go on and on about some analysis you think is so hot and, you know, this and that and this. And I think this is a good time to end the pod. I just can't take it anymore. So 50 was strong and we'll just do Twitter from now on.
Now it's, honestly, I think I'm going to keep the podcast and replace you with an actual turkey. And I think a turkey will provide better commentary. And honestly, it'll be less distracting because I won't have to constantly hear about the turkey's failures to meet a female turkey the way that I have to hear with you. So, you know, I'm looking forward to a more focused Bat Boys podcast. We will recruit a turkey to replace you. We'll make sure it has great hair like you.
Sam, our listeners must think that probably an hour before each episode, I'm just complaining about dating life at this point.
Yeah, that's what's true, listeners. That's true. It's all the time. It's all the time he's texting me. Yeah.
Yeah, and a few texts. Just a few texts. And that's it. All right, well, Sam, this was another fun episode. This is great. And
episode.
I think it was good to get a point today. We are now in eighth place, 12 points, and it could be worse, I'd say, at this point.
We're, you know, before this match, Tim, I noticed we had the same number of points as Barcelona with 2 games in hand, but or with 1 game in hand before the match. So now we're 1 point ahead with 1 game in hand. I mean, or with 2 games in hand. It's, you know, you think if you're staying ahead of Barcelona, you're in pretty good shape. So I'll just say that about Valencia. Yeah. We're not where we want to be, but at least we're ahead of Barcelona.
Yeah, that is very true. And we'll end on that. All right, sir. We'll speak next week. And everyone have a great Thanksgiving. If you're in the States, if you're abroad, just keep on doing what you're doing this time of the year. And we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. See you, Tim.
All right, buddy.